Welcome to the Young Businessmen of Tulsa podcast. I'm your host, Evan Uitaki, and I'm so excited that you've tuned in.
Our mission is focused on connecting, developing, and inspiring young business leaders to find and pursue their purpose.
This podcast is sponsored by Trost Marketing. Promoting your business through marketing is essential for growth. Without marketing, you lack the ability to create a conversation with your potential customers. At Trost Marketing, we provide marketing solutions that fuel growth. We are your source for all of your printing needs, as well as branded apparel and promotional items. If your business wants to stand out to potential customers, contact the marketing experts at Trost Marketing. Visit us at trostmarketing.com or call us at 866-492-7820.
Young business leaders, welcome to the YBT podcast. I'm your host, Evan Uitaki, and I want to welcome you to podcast number 93. We have, I know today is going to be an exciting podcast, and it's because it took us a little bit of time to actually get this thing to happen technology-wise, but we have our guest, we have the audio going, we're recording, so we are rocking and rolling, and I am excited to bring Jamie Naughton from Zappos to you guys today. I've been working on corporate culture for Trost Marketing and also for my parent company, and so one of the things that happened was we were going through just all sorts of things that we wanted with culture, but we're just trying to figure out what culture was, and that was like part of the conversation in terms of putting everything together. And I had multiple people come to me and say, you guys need to check out the Zappos culture. The Zappos culture is a culture that they put out there to help other businesses, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. And then I think they actually do training and courses on that. We'll get into that with Jamie, but there's just so much cool stuff as I was uncovering, as I was digging into it. So Jamie, welcome to the podcast. If you can, please introduce yourself, tell them a little bit about who you are, and then we'll dive into some of these amazing questions.
Awesome. Hi, I'm so excited to be talking to you today. So I've been with Zappos for almost 14 years. My official title is Chief of Staff, and what that means to my day-to-day is I oversee corporate communications, and that includes PR, internal communications, and internal marketing. And then I also oversee the Chief of Staff area, so basically my job is to help build efficiencies for our CEO, Tony Hsieh, and I've been working directly for him for 7 years now. My background at Zappos, when I started, I was in HR and I was responsible for all the events and programs, incentives, what I like to call the culture extras. So that's my background in 30 seconds.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And hopefully the audience is trying to get a little bit of their head around just everything they do. So obviously everyone knows Zappos for shoes, but I think you guys do more than that now. But if you can, one of the things, like I said, that when I talk to people about Zappos culture is they kind of say it's an aspirational culture. It's a culture that you use as a guide when you're creating your own thing. And some of the things that, and when we get into your core values, are things that almost don't sound like that they would work for business. But you guys are actually a walking example of that. But before we get into that, I'd love for you to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and tell us a little bit about what it's like to actually work at a company with a healthy culture, with an intentional culture, with a culture that's designed to put the employees first and really shape the entire experience around you.
Oh, that's a big question. What is it like to work at Zappos? It's an interesting environment because every day you never know what's going to be happening or what's going to be going on. It's a super fun environment and obviously a friendly environment, but it's also a little bit crazy. We always say Zappos isn't for everyone, and that's definitely true because it is, it's a loud environment. And when I say crazy, like there might be a parade coming through, and actually there might be a parade scheduled for today at some point. So
if it's loud, scheduled.
You know why. Yeah, well, sometimes they're impromptu, sometimes they're scheduled. And so it is an awesome environment to work in, but it is also a hardworking environment. So part of our culture isn't just having fun, it's also doing good work and getting the job done. So you're not just judged on how well you do your job, but also how well you embrace our culture and really drive our culture with your team and the people around you. So,
yeah. So I know that you got, like, one of the things when you're creating culture is you're hiring for culture, right? You're looking for those kinds of people. And you said earlier that Zappos is not for everybody. And I definitely know there's a lot of businesses that just, I don't think that they could operate with the fun type environment that you have. But I think one of the core things that you guys are always going towards is happiness, being happy at your job and delivering that happiness to your customers. How does all of the fun stuff and the crazy stuff translate to happiness, or how have you seen that translate to happiness?
You know, we've studied the science of happiness, and we've had many evolutions over the 19 years we've existed, and even the almost 14 years I've been here. But we really think what is important is to have a healthy work environment where people are engaged and want to be in this environment. They want to come to work every day. We think it's important that you understand the vision and the purpose of what is driving the company. And for us, that obviously is customer service. That is our guiding star, so to speak. So everyone has to be really attached to that vision. And customer service isn't just about how we treat our customers. It's also how we treat our vendors and our coworkers and even our community, everyone around us. So we want to be authentic to our brand 24 hours a day.
Well, that's great. And I think a lot of times when people think of customer service, it's like a necessary evil, right? It's like something that you have to do. Like I've even said this sometimes, and I'm learning that it's probably not the best thing to say, but like my business would run so much smoother if I didn't have to deal with people. But really, people are the thing that drive it, right? And so you look at all of the things that are involved in the process. But on the other side of that, I have also said made the statement that there's anybody can do what I do. And I think anybody can do what Zappos does. But the difference is that customer service. It's those people. It's that experience that you create with that interaction with the customer. So on one end, you're sitting there going, well, if it was just a click and ship, it'd be super easy, super simple, and we'd be done. But on the other side of that, you guys basically took it to the complete opposite direction where you said, hey, we're going to approach this way differently than anybody else and invest in our people, invest in our culture with the intent that if we invest in them, they're going to invest in our customers. And through that, we're going to have a more loyal customer base, and we're going to be able to grow based on building that community as opposed to building the process, right?
Right. You know, and I think if you go back to when we were founded, we had at the time felt like the cards were stacked against us, but it was an accidental luck. Like the economy was just coming out of the dot-com bubble. And so a lot of startups went from this overwhelming amount of funding where they had millions of dollars thrown at them and they could do lots of different crazy things. And then when we started right at the tail end of 1999 and in 2000, no one really believed that you could sell shoes online, and no one was throwing money at us. So we had to get really scrappy in how we approach things. And that's how we stumbled upon that the only thing that was going to differentiate us was our service level. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to focus completely on service. And I think the happiness of the employee base is directly related to the service we provide to our customers. You can't scream and yell at your employees and then tell them to, like, put a smile on for your customer. It has to be authentic, and customers are super aware of any disconnect in your brand image. So, yeah, so we were unfortunate and lucky at the same time to not have any funding, and just had to really focus on making every customer happy. And then the concept was, if we could provide a wow experience, if every interaction with our customers results in them saying wow, that we don't need this huge marketing budget, because our customers will eventually become our marketing team. They will market this for us. And the vast majority of our history and our growth has been directly tied to word of mouth and what our customers do for us by telling their friends and family about the crazy experiences they've had with us.
Yeah. Well, that deliver wow through service, that's your first value. So I'm going to go ahead and read all of your values because we'll get into some of these a little bit later. But number one is deliver wow through service. Number two, embrace and drive change. Number three, create fun and a little weirdness. Number four, be adventurous, creative, and open-minded. Number five, pursue growth and learning. Number six, build open and honest relationships with communication. Number seven, build a positive team and a family spirit. Number eight, do more with less. Number nine, be passionate and determined. And number 10, be humble. So I love how the value that you just brought up it's a part of your vocabulary, right? It's so ingrained. It's something that everybody just knows, and it just becomes a part of the business. And if you work there, I'm going to venture to say, I know you see it everywhere you go, right? But how else are you getting your core values communicated to your employees?
Yeah, so during the hiring process, you're hired based off of your, not just your skill and your resume, but how well we think you'll fit into our values. So you do a culture interview, which HR's responsibility is only to decide whether or not you fit within our culture. And if HR says this person is not a culture fit, there's nothing anyone can do to override that. So you don't have like the CEO pushing a hire and this guy's kind of a jerk, but he's the best friend of the CEO, so you have to hire them. That's not how it works here. Nobody can really influence the hiring process. So even I've been here forever, and sometimes like people will say, well, can you get me in? Can you get me in? I can't. The only person that can get you in is yourself. Yeah. And so we're really committed to our values, not only through our hiring process, also our termination process. You can get fired as easily for a culture violation as you can, you know, poor performance. And then we send all of our employees through an intense new hire process. When I say we really want to be focused on the customer, how we and whoever that customer is, if you're in finance, that customer is the vendor. And if you're in HR, the customer is the employee. But every employee is required to go through 4 weeks of new hire training. And during that 4 weeks, they're going to spend a ton of time in the classroom learning our history, learning our values, really hearing stories about how our values have come to life over the years. And then we put them on the phone for a full 2 weeks to talk to our customers. So 100% of our employees, from CEO all the way down, are call center trained. And then to back up that value of deliver wow through service, every year we're required to spend 10 hours on the phone during the holiday season. So you might, if you call in December, you might get me on the phone. You might get our CEO, Tony, on the phone. You never know who you're going to get. It's likely it's not going to be a full-time call center employee. It might be a finance person or a merchandiser. And so our values aren't just a document that hangs in the lobby. And I think that's our advice to all businesses, is that you, if you create values and you just stick them on a wall, that's not enough. You have to infuse those values into everything you do. You have to allow those values to guide your business decisions. And sometimes we make decisions that aren't necessarily not necessarily the best thing for, you know, just in terms of money, but we're looking at what's the impact to our culture, what's the impact to our environment, what do our employees need and want and expect from us. And so these values are every single day in every single meeting and every single interaction, these values come to life.
Yeah. And that's hard, because when you're talking about like not chasing the dollar at that point, but you're a company of your size, like just finding that balance, like you put such a high level on culture and on the environment and everything else. But then on the other side, you have to be profitable, right? You have to make money and you want to do the right thing. So just finding that balance, is that where the hard part comes in, or is it more than that?
I think it's like, it's just a different way that we look at things. We look at the profit as our ability to continue the culture. Mm-hmm. So profit, you know, running our business and having sales and growing and being profitable is a means to continue our crazy culture and to continue offering benefits to our employees. And so we're not chasing the money. Of course, you know, we're a subsidiary of Amazon and we have budgets and goals and numbers we have to hit, and we do that. successfully. Every year we do that. But we've learned throughout the time our companies existed that you don't, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can be profitable and have an amazing culture.
That's awesome.
You can be profitable and have a terrible culture. You could be not profitable and have a terrible culture. So we've decided we want to be profitable and we want to have an amazing culture, and we don't compromise on either of those.
I'm just blown away by that, because sometimes I think when somebody looks at like a culture like yours and they walk through the office and they see all that stuff, they're like, how in the world can you, how can you be profitable with this? It's like the two things in your mind don't necessarily coexist, but I love how you guys are proof that you can have those two things. And a lot of times it gets to the point where the culture actually drives the business, as opposed to being the business driving the culture and the other way around. And like you said, sometimes you get, it's those words on the wall, or it's a flip book that they have. And every once in a while it goes back to that, but it's almost like every opportunity, it sounds like, that you guys have to interweave culture into the things that you're doing, that's where you put that time and emphasis, because that's how it gets communicated better. That's how it gets ingrained into everybody else to where they want to be a part of it. I would say that you're probably attracting more people because of your culture as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been really lucky that we've had a long run of positive press about our work environment, and that absolutely has created a solid employer brand that candidates are attracted to. And, you know, it's not always easy attracting top talent, especially in technology, to the desert of Las Vegas. But we rely on our culture to do a lot of that work for us. So for us, it's like it doesn't make business sense not to invest in our people and invest in our culture so that our business can thrive.
Well, I want to get specific on one of your cultural values, because I'm still trying to get my head around this one. It's create fun and a little bit of weirdness. So can you explain that one a little bit for me? Because that one seems a little bit out there to me.
Yeah. So I think, you know, what the meaning behind this value is that we want our employees to bring their whole self to work. We don't want you to put on your work face when you're here and then you have your face that you show to your family. We really want people to be authentic, because you're going to spend, 8 to 10 hours a day at work. So you might as well be who you are. And we also know that you can only hide who you are for so long. And then that stuff sort of comes out. It's like the number 10, be humble. You can only fake humility for so long before it falls apart. And so Creep Fun and a Little Weirdness is about really being true to who you are and bringing all everybody is weird. Everybody has like some strange story from their upbringing and has, you know, just a uniqueness about them. And for us, Creep Fun and a Little Weirdness is about bringing that kind of uniqueness into work every single day.
So I have a little bit of theory about this. And so tell me if I'm maybe reading too deep into this or if I'm on the right track. So when you're talking about bringing a little weirdness and being your authentic self, you're being vulnerable at that point. You're basically exposing maybe to the world the things that make you, right? The strengths that you have, but also the weaknesses that you have, and the weirdnesses, maybe your passions, right? So my theory is when you are vulnerable and you're willing to share those things, that's where relationship happens. You get away from the mask, get away from the front that you're putting out in front of you, and essentially projecting what you think somebody else thinks you should be. You're trying to be the altogether person who has all the answers or whatever else. But the challenge with that is there, everything's just like surface layer at that point. And you don't get into a deep conversation. You don't get into a real relationship with somebody, because they never let you that far in. But if you put the weirdness out there, you put the fun part of you out there, that's where those connections happen. And ultimately that relationships that then form. And then ultimately from that, that turns to trust, right? You trust your employees to have the best interest of the company in mind. You allow them to do some things that are maybe a little bit weird. They don't necessarily sound like something that you would traditionally do, but you want to allow them to do that. And next thing you know, that might have been one of the things that actually takes the company in a whole new direction or lays a bigger foundation for you to build on. So am I reading too deep into that, or is that kind of the genesis behind that?
No, you know, I think you sort of nailed it. Like, I don't know if that was our intent in the beginning. I wish I could say that we were like these grand designers of we knew every turn it was going to take and we knew how all this was going to play out. But you really nailed it. Like, all of our values are really about that working together, and we want our employees to be friends. We want our employees to have strong relationships with everyone in the company. Or, you know, there's research that says that, you know, if you have a best friend at work, that you're more likely to be successful. And so, yeah, we just want an environment and we want to fill the environment with people you want to hang out with.
You're talking about that side of it. And then you also have humility in there or being humble. And I feel like the humility side of that, humble side, actually kind of lends to being open and willing to say that I don't have all the answers and that I can learn at that point too. And so for me, just diving into the things that you have here, it's one of those things where you see the words and you kind of blaze past it and you're like, okay, well, those are nice core values. But if you really dig into them a little bit and say, okay, be your authentic self, be open, be willing to create those relationships, be willing to be humble so that you can learn, be willing to pursue that relationship, pursue that best friend, because we know that that's going to make you more successful. And if you're successful, we're successful. And so I've heard the term family in doing some research on you guys as well. And I believe that you're creating that family type atmosphere, the good side of the family, right? Because there's dysfunctional families too, right? So you don't necessarily want to go too far down that path. And I'm sure there's a little bit of that. But ultimately, you're creating this environment of trust and environment of learning that I think is what Tony said. He said, I want this company to not be a company on the Fortune 500 that just goes away after a certain time. I want this company to be here in the next 500 years.
Yeah, and that's what we're building to. And, you know, a few years ago, and this could be a whole nother podcast, but a few years ago, we switched our organizational structure to something called Holacracy, because we were trying to flatten out the organization and give more autonomy to our employees and just close the gap between employees and that customer, get everyone closer to the customer. And for us, that's one step in our evolution to being a company that can stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. And in order to stand the test of time, you have to diversify. You have to continue to stay relevant. And we are relying on every business relies on their employees to see the trends and see the patterns and to come up with what's next. But does your environment foster that with, like, does the culture you have really foster that? Do you have employees who are so engaged that they're looking and for the next big thing and driving the next big thing and really pushing for the next big thing because they want the company to be successful? And so that's how our culture kind of is going to be responsible for our long-term success, is having a workforce that is fully engaged and helping us drive the business forward.
So is that something that you guys created, or is that something that you saw in another business that you said, hey, we need to try to adopt something like this and start working in that direction?
Are you speaking about Holacracy itself?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Holacracy was developed by a gentleman, and the company is holacracy.org, I believe, is where you can find more information about it. But it's just a way to kind of organize around work instead of around people. So in a normal traditional environment, you have your department heads and everybody kind of reports up into that. And in a Holacracy, all the people are organized around the work. So you might have where in a normal environment, you have your marketing teams all together and you have your technology teams all together. But in a holacracy, you might have a marketing person, a technology person, and like a merchandiser all in the same area because all of their work overlaps with each other.
Well, I think that's kind of, that sounds like it's the solution to like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, right? It's like you're getting all the people tied around what the project is and they're all at the table at that point. And so they're able to accomplish that thing that much more effectively and not maybe contradict or duplicate some of the things that the other side's doing. Is that fair to say?
Well, oddly enough, the system is made for duplication. Like Tony, our CEO, believes that it doesn't, like, you can have five teams working on the same thing. It doesn't matter to him because one of the teams is going to be successful, and that's and that's what we're looking for is those ideas. But so duplication and that stuff is built into the system. It's very nuanced. It's hard to explain, but we've been working in a holocratic environment for years now, so it's kind of second nature to us. And I don't know. It would, like I said, it's a whole nother podcast.
Fair enough. Well, we'll steer it back over here for this podcast. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, customer service is the main part of the business that I think that you guys really excel at. That was definitely something that you said was where you guys could potentially thrive. But there's so many businesses that are struggling with customer services and they're really just flat out missing it. What do you think are some of the kind of the key mistakes that companies make when it comes to customer service?
I think some of the big mistakes companies make is they're just trying to save money. They're trying to be efficient instead of trying to do what's best for the customer. I think every person can relate to calling a 1-800 number and feeling like you were being rushed off the phone, or just the employee can't give you what you need. And we're almost trained to, like, can I talk to your supervisor? Because the supervisor can give you what you need, right? And at Zappos, we want to be one stop. We want whoever answers that phone to be the best person to handle your situation. And so policies are meant to be broken, and there's nothing a supervisor can do that a general call center employee can't do for you.
Wow.
And we're not trying to be efficient in terms of how many calls can a rep get through a day. We don't measure, like, a normal measurement in a call center is call times. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to get that customer off the phone? And to us, that just seems crazy to me that you would try to rush a customer off the phone, and that an employee's ability to keep their job directly is tied to how quickly they can get the customer off the phone. And so at Zappos, we want to be on the phone with you as long as you want to be on the phone with us. So we're going to obviously provide you great service and do everything we can as quickly as possible, but we're not afraid to engage in conversation and we don't have scripts. We're not telling our employees, say this, do this. And if the customer says this, then you do that. Like, we didn't hire robots. We hired humans, and we want them to be able to adapt and change and do whatever they need to do to help that customer, because every situation is very unique. And, you know, you have customers who call and they have 60 seconds and they want you to be fast and they want you to get their product and move on. And that's awesome. We will help you in 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. But we have some customers who want help shopping, and that might take 10 minutes or an hour or 5 hours. And we're totally fine with that. So to the question, what do most companies get wrong? I think it's that most companies might think that they're customer service focused, but they're not actually listening to their customers. They're not actually doing what is necessary for their customers. And a lot of times what's necessary for the customer is giving autonomy to the employee that's helping the customer and allowing that employee to bend the rules in some situations and to really be human and connect with the customer.
Well, that is a big difference. I think that initially when you were saying that, one of the first things I was like, well, your hold times must be astronomically high. Yeah. At some point that's important, right? Like people don't want to hold that long. How does that work when you get – I mean, everyone's doing their job, right? They're talking on the phone. They're helping the customer. Those customers feel great, but the customers that aren't getting through, then they're starting to have a negative experience. So is that just – we just overstaff at that point? Or, like, so how does that work?
Right. So I would venture to say that our hold times are by far one of the lowest in the industry. So we strive to answer all calls within under 20 seconds. Uh-huh. So most customers won't ever even hold. They'll just go directly to a rep. And I think for us, we look at the service that we provide as part of our marketing expense. So a lot of companies will spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to do these flashy commercials during the Super Bowl, and we don't do any of that. Like we have a super talented marketing team, and they're, you know, working all the time to market our business. But we take a huge percentage of our marketing budget and funnel that into the call center through overstaffing, you know, keeping our call center open longer hours, and just making sure we have enough reps to answer the calls that are coming in.
So is it fair to say that if a supervisor has the same authority as a regular call center agent, that they're able to take care of that customer quicker because they're not having to go through the script of, well, these things have to happen first before I can actually help this customer with what they need. I have to make sure that I check these boxes. So there's actually some efficiencies to it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not something I necessarily thought about. But yeah, so when a customer calls and if they have a bad experience, that rep can overcompensate and not have to have permission to do what's best for the customer. And then we're also part of what we measure in our call centers. We do measure things, contrary to popular belief. We don't measure, you know, how long our reps are on the phone, but we call it PEC, which stands for personal emotional connection. And that for us is, how are you connecting with that customer outside of the product they buy? So what do you know about that customer other than they're a size 8 and they really like black patent high heels, you know? And so when you call, you might have a conversation about, you know, where you're living, and maybe the rep is from that area and remembers the favorite pizza place on the corner. And those are all things that we encourage. And honestly, I think, you know, even going back to like what other companies are doing wrong, I can tell you a personal experience I had a few years ago. My mother passed away. And if you've ever lost anyone significant, it is terrible. I can't overstate how terrible it is. And there is so much you have to do. You have to, like, you're grieving, you've got to notify the family, you've got to plan a funeral. And then on top of that, you have to call the cable company and the electric company and the water company and the banks, and you have to figure all of this stuff out. And at no point in my journey through that did I encounter someone who went above and beyond. I even trying to cancel my mom's cell phone. The rep kept saying to me, because they have one job, right, and that rep's job is to keep you as a customer. And I kept saying, no, she's dead. Like, I don't know how more blunt I can be. She's dead.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to, like, maybe give her number? No, I don't. I want to cancel her phone. And then the cable company, you know, can you come pick up all of this cable stuff? And they were like, no, you have to come, you have to grab a number, you have to stand in line for 2 hours to return our cable equipment to us. I'm like, I just don't have time for this. I know that we just deal with shoes. We're not changing the world with just shoes, but we do feel in a way that we're changing the world with the service we provide. And one of my favorite stories that has happened maybe thousands of times since this first time, we had a customer call in and she had a very similar situation. where her mother had died. She had ordered a pair of shoes, and her mom had passed away before she had the chance to wear them. And so she called and she said, you know, my mom passed away. I'd like to return these shoes. And the rep said, of course, no problem. And our return process is super easy to begin with. Like, you just print a label, you tape it to the box, off it goes. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's easy. You can even do it without calling our call center. But the rep was like, well, this woman's mom just died. She obviously has a lot going on. So I'm going to make this easier for her. And so he opted to have UPS come to the woman's house and actually pick up the package. Most of the time you take it to a UPS center. And every time we send UPS directly to your door, it costs us money. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that there's a cost to the company for doing that. But we didn't, we don't tell our reps that they can't do it. So the rep was like, I'm going to have UPS come directly to your door and pick that up for you, so you don't have to, you just leave it on your doorstep. It's done. You don't have to think about it. Yeah. And of course, the customer was happy about that. And then he got off the phone and he went to his supervisor and he said, you know, this customer just called and she lost her mom, and I feel really bad. I think we should send her flowers. And that's something we had never done.
Yeah.
And so the supervisor was like, of course, let's send her flowers. And so we did. And we sent this woman flowers. And what we didn't know at the time is that this woman had a blog, and she, the blog wasn't, it wasn't a big blog. It was read by probably her immediate family, but she wrote this beautiful story about how Zappos sent UPS to her door. And the next day there was a knock and she opened it, and there was this beautiful arrangement of flowers, and it said, our thoughts are with you and your family. And she wrote about how she felt for the first time in a long time, she connected to a business on a human level. And then what happened after that was, this is how I picture it, so I might be adding color to the legend of this story, but there was a reporter out of New York who was looking to do a story on Zappos, and he was looking for something new, something that hadn't been written about, and I imagine that he was on, like, page 322 of a Google search engine when he came across this Zappos story, and he wrote an article called Zappos Sends You Flowers. And that, to date, that blog has had over 80,000 hits. And I think if you're in marketing, like, you can see the ROI, right? Like, we probably spent $50 on flowers and we had 80,000 positive impressions just on her blog, not to mention all the stories that came out of that reporter's story. So, I guess the point of my story is that we don't do these things to get good media. We do these things to provide great service, and the rest of it just comes along.
Yeah, and I think if I kind of read between the lines on that a little bit too, it's you're dealing with people. It's people dealing with people. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And what that rep did is that rep empathized with that customer and had a mm-hmm. human connection with them, so much so that they said, you know what, I have compassion for this person. Maybe that rep had gone through a similar thing, and maybe like what you're talking about with your mother, and they just said, you know what, I just want to do something nice for these people. And that right there, you can't see me, but I'm choked up right now. But
one more quick story, because I'm sure your listeners come from all sorts of types of businesses, and yes, we're Zappos. We've been in business a long time. We were, you know, purchased by Amazon. We have more, maybe larger budgets than a small business. I get it. So you can't always send flowers to every customer. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite stories that came from the call center is, and every business knows about this, is like when you send your marketing emails out, you get, like, if I send you a marketing email and you're on vacation, I'm going to get a bounce back into our system that says out of office.
Yeah.
And it gets into our email queue. And so somebody goes in and deletes those, like delete, 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 delete. These aren't actual questions from customers. They're just junk.
Right.
Well, so we had a rep who was deleting all the out of offices, the kickbacks that we get. And she came across one and in the out of office said, I'm doing a breast cancer walk in honor of my, I don't know who it was, maybe it was an aunt or a mother or something, and it was like a 3-day walk that this woman was doing. And so the rep was like, that's really cool. So she grabbed a thank you card. We keep thank you cards all throughout the building. We're always looking for an opportunity to handwrite to our customers. So she grabbed a thank you card and she wrote this customer who didn't even buy anything, just got a marketing email from us and said, I saw you're out of office and I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing. And, you know, I also had a relative who was affected by breast cancer and, you know, good luck and keep up the hard work. And afterwards, the customer emailed in and said, you know, that out of office probably went to 200 people in the week that I was gone, and no one mentioned it. But this random shoe company in Las Vegas, Nevada, sent me a thank you card. I get chills when I tell this story. Like, how could you not want to be a part of that? How could you not want to be a part of a brand that does that on a regular basis every day?
I am literally shopping on Zappos as you're talking right now.
Yay!
I'm just like, I just want to support Zappos. That's amazing. But, well, man, thank you for sharing those stories, because that is just, like, I have chills. And we're talking about selling shoes online, but we're talking about so much more than that. And I love that. And if the listeners can really kind of tune in and just see these opportunities are there, you just have to be like open to look for them. You need to be aware, and you can't just float through your day and just focus on metrics, focus on hiring, focus on all this other stuff. It overflows into so much else. And that kind of leads into my last question. And I think I already know the answer to it, but it's why you guys chose to share your culture as much as you do with the business community, because to some people that would be a trade secret, but I almost feel like you're wanting to make the world a better place, as cliche as that sounds, but you want to share this culture with everybody else so that more people can do that and really just affect a positive change in the world, as opposed to just try to make a profit and sell shoes in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Our CEO used to say, like, We're only selling shoes, but we can change the world. You know, we can change the world, because if we can be a beacon in business, and we can be a light and share what we've learned with other businesses, how many lives can be improved by that? Like, the average American spends the vast majority of their life working. So why make that harder? Why make that more miserable? Like, everything about your work environment affects every part of that employee's life, like their relationships with their spouses, their relationships with their children. And so we do feel like we're changing the world by creating a work environment that really treats our employees with dignity and respect, and then does the same thing for our customers.
Well, thank you so much for choosing to share your culture. And I know you have direct access to Tony. Tell him thank you. I don't know if he gets it very often, but I think it's amazing that he's doing the things he's doing, and just all everybody there. It's helped me so much. Just looking at, you know, seeing what's possible. I think we don't dream big enough, because we only know what we know. And I think what Zappos is doing is expanding our ability to dream what our culture can be, what our work environments can be, so that we really have this next level that we can always push towards. So I encourage you guys, keep striving to have that kind of fun culture, that weird culture, creating those relationships, creating humility in your work environment. Because from a guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to a girl in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's a dry heat, but I totally get it. Man, thank you for doing that and taking the time to be on this podcast and share your message. Because, like you said, if it's a little blog and that's on page 300 of Google, or a little podcast in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there can be that positive change that's affected. So thank you for doing that. I do want to give you an opportunity to speak directly to the audience. I kind of preface that we always give our guests an opportunity to speak directly to the next generation of business leaders. And so what would you say your message is to young business leaders?
Oh, I think I said it already just a minute ago, that you guys are leading people, and never forget how important and powerful that is. And do whatever you can to make someone's life easier, because we all have our own battles and we're all just exciting to make it in this world. So treat your employees well, treat them with respect, and they will give it back to you 10 times over. And then also, one thing I live by is always hire people smarter than you, because you can't be everything to everyone. And I think what makes the best leaders is people who surround themselves with talent and people that fill in the gaps of you know, whatever you don't have, that you're hiring people that fill those in for you.
Awesome. Jamie, thank you again for being a guest on the podcast and sharing the Zappos culture with us. Listeners, remember, choose to connect, seek development, and be inspired. We'll catch you on the next podcast.
Young businessmen, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about the Young Businessmen of Tulsa, check out our website at www.ybtok.com or email us at ybtoklahoma@gmail.com. If you live in the Tulsa area and would like to hear one of our great speakers live at our monthly luncheon, we meet on the second Monday of every month from 12 to 1 p.m. Like us on Facebook for details about locations and upcoming speakers. Lastly, if you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you for tuning in to the Young Businessmen of Tulsa podcast, where we connect, develop, and inspire young businessmen to find and pursue their purpose.